This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Of course, BetMGM, reconfigured app. So you want to get involved in-game, it's very efficient. The king of sportsbooks, make sure you go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. If you're in Vegas, stop by any MGM property. You're ready to go within minutes. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER. If you have an issue, we welcome you back. Hope you're having a nice weekend. He's Michael Lombardi in the office today. I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So you and I were discussing, Michael, for our NESN audience here. New England opened at most shops 1. We've gone through 0. Vegas, late window today, is now laying 2. Let's start here. There's so much to unpack with this matchup. The coordinator battle. Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, Patrick Graham. You said, quote, there is intimate knowledge on both sides in every facet of the game. Every coach on each side of the field has been trained and developed in some aspect of the New England system. You see it there? Let's run with that.
Well, I think, look, you know, when they call a certain protection, it's the same protection they're calling in Las Vegas that they call in New England. When they call a different check, you know, check to this. They call it a blitz, you know, run Cobra. You know, it's all the same language. It's all the same terminology. And so when you play against a team that is basically so familiar with one another, you have to kind of use dummy calls, change your calls, kind of not alert people. You know, when they go trio or they make a call, you know, the mic points, it all signals to the team that knows what's going on. That the other team, because it's like having an inter-squad scrimmage, right? It's like practicing against one another. Even though they run different style of offense, the terminology is the same. So that's where you get the breakdown. That's where you get it. I think this line has moved because of Darren Waller coming back, because of Hunter Renfrow coming back. I mean, the Raiders have been a two-player offense, and they've been good at it. Josh Jacobs has been sensational. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's going to be one of the first backs to gain – you know, they're going to have a back to gain 1,500 yards and a receiver in Davante Adams to gain 1,500 yards. That's hard to do. There's only four teams that have had that in the National Football League. So now they get Waller back. They haven't had Waller all year. I mean, I was at a practice when they practiced against the Patriots, and, you know, Waller was hurt then. And so with the same hamstring. And Renfrow hasn't really been the Renfrow that we saw with the 81 catches last year, but they come back. So it gives them a little bit more versatility. And this game's going to come down to, you know, the fact is, can Carr make the plays in the red zone that he's going to need to make, because the Patriots are a very good red zone team, and can this Raider defense stop, even though the Patriot offense isn't great, can they stop the run game? Because the Patriots need their run game to get going. They may not have Stevenson today. They're definitely not going to have Damian Harris, so this means Pierre Strong, who had a nice run last week. They're going to have to run him in, and they're going to have to win the line of scrimmage against this Patriot offensive line, which hasn't played well.
Pupil versus the mentor, that is going to be a theme on the broadcast today, no doubt. Josh McDaniels is 1-0 against his former mentor. Now, that win came back in 2009, so not a ton we can do with that here. 7-6, the New England Patriots, Michael, lingering for a postseason bid, but most handicappers point to the fact that their seven wins have come against Mitchell Trubisky, Jacoby Brissett, Colt McCoy, Zach Wilson twice. So a lot of doubters with this New England team, and doubters in the market, as Vegas is a 2-point favorite, 2.5 at one book.
Yeah, I mean, when they played against a good offense like Minnesota, they gave up 300 yards passing. You know, they played against Detroit. Now, you know, they shut Detroit out. You know, people kind of – but Detroit turned the ball over. I think Detroit didn't convert a third down in that game. But what Detroit did was they couldn't convert fourth downs in that game either. You know, and they've been able – look, New England can find ways to win game in three dimensions. They do it in the kicking game. They do it with their offense. They do it sometimes with their defense. But where they really stalled this season is they're the worst red zone team in all of football. No one practices the red zone more than they do. And since their bye week, since, you know, they've kind of gotten – remember the Bear game? They turned it over 4 times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was Zappy going to play? Who's not going to play? You know, they've only turned the ball over 3 times in all those games. And one of them last week was against the Cardinals when the ball got tipped straight up in the air. So they've done a better job of protecting the football. But other than they haven't really run the football effectively in the last 4 weeks. I mean, they ran for 103 yards, but I would not say they ran the ball well against Arizona. They have struggled to run the ball. The last best run game they had was against the Jets back in Week 8, you know, and when they played even Cleveland that they had a touchdown run, they didn't run the ball well in that game either. So they need to get their running game going. There was a period early in the season where they were running the ball effectively. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Green Bay, Detroit, they ran it really well. But since then, they haven't. And they haven't had – they have not had a 20 first down game. 20 first downs in a game. They haven't had one since the Cleveland Brown game. So I think all these factors are laying into why they're being why the line is moving away.
And also, when you start to doubt the Raiders, of course, the heartbreak in Los Angeles on Thursday night, but when you start to doubt the Raiders, they go to Denver and win. They go to Seattle and win. They beat the Chargers. Remember, that's when they were at their low, when they went on that three-game streak. So it's very interesting here. As far as them laying 2.5, I'm looking right now. The Raiders laying 2.5.
The Raiders have played hard. All this nonsense that Mark Davis is unhappy with the Raiders. I mean, I heard somebody on our network say that's ridiculous. Like, that's not even close to being true. You know, and the reality of it is that the Raiders have missed a lot of drafts. The league yesterday put out a memorandum at the owners' meeting the other day where they have spent, there's $800 million that have gone that are on the books in salaries to coaches and executives because the owners have no patience. $800 million, almost $1 billion that is going away, which tells you how rich these owners are to give away that kind of money. Back at when I first got started in the league, nobody was going to fire. Coaches were going to get time. Now there's this, because the league's so wealthy, they're not getting any time. And, you know, I mean, they want to fire Josh McDaniels. Did anybody look at Kyle Shanahan's first year in San Francisco? How do you think he got Joey Bosa? You know, you think he walked in? Now they say, well, the Raiders were a playoff team last year. Time out. It's a little bit like Minnesota. They're going to be a playoff team this year. You think they got a chance to win 12 games again next year? You know what I mean? Sometimes you're a playoff team by fortunate, not necessarily by your talent base. So I think the Raiders will play really hard today. I think they've got to protect the ball. I think Carr's got to play at a high level. He can't turn down Davante Adams for a first down and a touchdown and pass it up. He can't make those mistakes, and I think ultimately that's what's happened to the Raiders. They've not executed when they've needed to execute at the most opportune times.
Well, when McDaniels and the OC there, Mick Lombardi, came into camp and looked at the Raiders roster, they saw Davante Adams, they saw Josh Jacobs, and they saw Carr. But the two important pieces, the big-time pieces, Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro, they've been so banged up. They're never healthy. However, they are active today. Will they be on a pitch count? We shall see.
I don't think
that
so.
I don't think so.
Okay. I think Waller's going to play. I think Waller's going to be a key part of the game. I think he has to be. I mean, look, this Waller kid is sensational when he's on the field. Now, he hasn't been on the field. The last 2 years, he's missed games. You know, his durability has not been great. But when he's out there, I mean, he's only played in 5 games. He started 4. You know, and he only has 16 catches on the year, just has 1 touchdown. He had a huge drop against Tennessee that could have won the game for him in that game. But this is a rare athlete now. This is a rare athlete. I know he's 30 years old, but he's got rare speed. And he's going to be a problem for New England, because if they want to try to double Davante, now they didn't double Justin Jefferson all the time, right? Remember, you got him, I got him, nobody's got him. Remember that coverage that day?
Yep.
You know, so they didn't double him all the time there. So they'll pick their spots. But the problem they're going to have is trying to cover Waller if Waller's playing at a high level. That's going to be the real issue. And then how do they hold up in the run game? You know, can they hold up in the run game against nickel? When Buffalo saw the safeties on the field playing linebacker, they went run. They ran the ball. When Buffalo saw the linebackers, when they saw Bentley and McMillan, they threw it. They took advantage of it, and I think you'll see a little bit of that today. The running game is always cause and effect by what you're in. Last night was the perfect example. It was never mentioned, but the reason Miami was having such success is because Buffalo was never going to go to a base defense against Miami. They were never going to get caught that way. So they were trying to figure out how to gap control it by their nickel. So they were going to stay in nickel. They were never going to allow that. They didn't want to take any chances with Tyreek Hill getting beat over the top.
May I ask you how you feel personally, the historical layers and ironies that run through this matchup? The Raiders and the Patriots, Belichick, your son's the OC. There's just so much going on here for you.
Carl Pagnelli, it all comes back. I mean, look, I'll be rooting for the Raiders. There's no denying that. I mean, I love the Patriots, and I'm so grateful to the Patriot organization and Coach Belichick. I've won 2 Super Bowls with them. So, I mean, but, I got to root for my blood, but it'll be a fun game to watch. Typical Russo. Like, how could he do this to me on Sunday, right? He takes the Raiders. Like, and so he knows I have to root for him, you know? Like, he knows I have to root for him. That to me, when he does that, it's a low blow. It really is.
A little bit. He's toying with your emotions, Chris Russo.
He does. He does.
Michael
he loves
Lombardi
it.
In the contest.
He loves it, you know. And then look, he seems to be on the right side now. You know, we post numbers in that thing on Friday. We get the numbers now. You know, now if he took the Raiders, he should be laying 2.5. He's not. He got to pick them at that point. Just like I got the Lions, I'm laying a point, and now I should be getting 2.5. You know, it's funny how this works, right?
Feel for the flow of New England and Vegas. The total is 44.5, 45. Do you have a feel for the flow of this game?
I think both teams will move the ball. I think both teams will move. Look, the Raiders' defense has struggled. Now, that you know, let's face it, Max Crosby's great. Chandler Jones is playing better. They've gotten more help inside, but they're not a great – they can't cover very well. I mean, they're going to have to – I think both teams can move the football. I think both teams can move the ball. But both teams – and this is why I think you have to be careful you're playing the O. Both teams are not very good red zone offense.
Michael Lombardi, heard some buzz around the Sharps when it comes to Atlanta starting Ridder today in New Orleans. We'll get to that coming up, but we'll keep it in family when we come back. Of course, one Lombardi with the Raiders, another Lombardi, Matt, with Carolina. Carolina is hosting Pittsburgh today. When we come back, we finally have an answer at quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'll just say this, Steelers fans, you might want to plug your ears, okay? And then we've got to get to another quarterback in Denver, Mr. Rippon. Wilson is out. We continue. Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line. Of course, Express Bet, First Bet. You get $10 instantly when you sign up right now, plus a $200 deposit match bonus when you use the code HORSE22. Go to VSiN.com/horses for more details. That's VSiN.com/horses for more details. Okay, we've got Thomas Gable. By the way, his plays are up over at VSiN.com/subscribe for pros. Thomas Gable with his college basketball plays today. He's coming up in about 9 minutes. Let's do this. Let's get to the board and run some of these games because we have some questions and now answers at quarterback. Pittsburgh looks like they are going to go Trubisky down in Carolina. Carolina's still alive for a postseason bid here, Michael, and they're laying 2.5 hosting Pittsburgh.
So I think Carolina felt like it was going to be Rudolph. I felt it was going to be Rudolph. Maybe it was – I mean, even Deontay Johnson wanted it to be Rudolph, you know?
Yeah.
And so – and look, I will say this. You know, Trubisky last week had 2 really bad interceptions in the middle of the field. But for a guy that probably didn't practice very much, he came in there and played pretty well against Baltimore. He did. He threw the ball effectively. He made some really great deep throws to Pickens. You know, he got him back down the field for the touchdown. And, you know, he just turned the ball over, which, you know, he could do. And against Carolina, that's where they make their living. They got to be able to turn the ball over and create pressure with their defense, create pressure with their front four. So I'm surprised he went back to him. I really am. I thought he would go to Rudolph. But Rudolph is one of those players that we see from college that doesn't have great anticipation with the throws, kind of holds the ball too long, and maybe Mike feels like this will just give him the best chance. I think he's going to try to run the ball, hopefully keep the game close, stop Carolina from running the ball, and 2 quarterbacks, Darnold and MVP Mitch, that are prone to turnovers, see which one turns it over.
And again, there could be a late second change. Maybe it is Mason Rudolph, but like you and I are just reporting what we're hearing, and what we're hearing is it's going to be
Trubisky. We haven't seen it on our board, and our board is usually very accurate.
That's what I'm. That's why I'm kind of throwing out the caution, just kind of like with the weather. All we do is report what the weathercasters are telling us. With this one, we're just reporting that, you know, people close to the team are hearing it's going to be Trubisky. So that's Pittsburgh at Carolina. There's plenty to get to. So let me keep it going here. How about Kansas City? Kansas City's laying a big price on the road at Houston, 14.5, Michael.
Yeah, well, I mean, that went up. It was 14, and I've seen some 15s out there too. You know, no Dameon Pierce, no Brandon Cooks, no Nico Collins, no Stingley for Houston. I mean, they're, you know, and they're going to run. It's one thing to surprise Dallas with this Davis Mills, you know, Driscoll run game offense, move it back and forth. It's another thing when a team has some time to prepare for it. And Kansas City's going to play man-to-man. They're going to rush. They're going to get after the Houston offensive line. And I don't know how Houston's going to be able to slow down Kansas City playing zone, playing Tampa 2, playing 2. I think this is a hard, hard game for – I almost gave Kansas City to Bill AD as one of my picks today because I like Kansas City. I think they'll really come out and play well, especially coming off that bitter – that even though they didn't lose to Denver, I think Mahomes kind of felt like he didn't play well enough. They need to put four quarters together. Look, Mahomes and Allen, you know, have been prone to make mistakes at some point in the game. They have not played flawless at times. And Mahomes now, based on that last week, you know, a lot of people think Hurts going to be the MVP because of the way Mahomes played in Denver.
Hurts is a favorite in the market. There's no doubt. The trends point to Houston catching 14.5 today. Double-digit home underdogs are 8-10 outright over the past two seasons. They're 13-5 ATS. Double-digit home dogs, 13-5 ATS the last two seasons. They're 2-1 outright this year and 3-0 ATS. Good job, Elliott, with that. Before we get to the next game, Quinnen Williams is officially out for the Jets. That's big for them up front.
It's huge. It's like Vita Vea being out for Tampa. I mean, when you lose a dominant inside defensive tackle who can rush the passer, you know, against a team that, it, you know, Detroit's weakness in their offensive line is inside. And it, and that pressure that affects Goff the most comes from inside. So, you know, this is going to be an interesting way how they work around it. I mean, this is a tough injury. You kind of knew he wasn't going to play. Same thing with Vita Vea. I mean, Cincinnati can run the ball. Cincinnati's offensive line is playing much better than they have earlier in the season. So that'll be a big difference in the game, too. Going back to Kansas City,
sure.
Houston, my line on that game was 14.3. The line came in at 14, so there's really no wiggle. But I will say this, you know, the game codes are just so dramatically different that I would lean towards Kansas City.
Okay, great information there. Now, let's get to Tennessee at the Chargers. Again, Quinnen Williams out. Just wanted to make sure 1.5 on that number with the Jets laying it. Actually, a book just went to 1, so maybe hearing the news as well. So Tennessee at the Chargers. If you want to bet the Chargers, you can find 2.5. If you want to bet Tennessee on the road, you can find a 3. Let's get your cap.
Well, I mean, look, Tennessee the last couple weeks, this matchup really doesn't favor Tennessee at all because to beat Tennessee, you have to say we don't want to run the ball. You've got to say, we're done. We don't want to run the ball. We're going to throw this thing, and we're going to take advantage of their – we'll run to keep it off balance. We'll throw some bubbles, screens. But we're going to throw the ball for the most part because if we can protect you, there's so many plays to make against the secondary. But this is a game where I think Vrabel kind of finds a way to get control of it because what's the area of weakness for Tennessee? Can't cover. What's the area of weakness for the Chargers? Can't play run defense. One team can throw it, that's the Chargers. One team can run it, that's the Titans. So this is a little bit like a game where both teams' strengths match up against the other team's weakness perfectly. And it gives you an opportunity. So I think if Tennessee's going to win this game, if you take Tennessee in this game, you're saying to yourself, and the line is the line's 3, is it still 3, Patrick?
It's 2.5 at some shops, Michael. It's 3 at others.
Yeah, I kind of have a feeling it would go to 2.5 because I think that's the Vrabel tax, that people are betting the Vrabel tax. If you're saying Tennessee's going to win, you're saying they're going to control the ball 38 minutes, they're going to run it, they're going to be more physical than Los Angeles, and they're going to make enough plays from their defensive front. They're going to rush four against Herbert and take away Mike Williams from making a big play. I think Tennessee's a really strong play here. I really do. I know it doesn't make sense based on the way the Chargers looked last week, but these are the kind of games that the Chargers have find a way to not play well in.
Vrabel's got the motivation sitting right in front of him. The Titans have now lost 3 games in a row straight up and ATS playing poorly. you think that Vrabel can do something with that. By the way, good stat from Elliott. The Chargers are 0-3 ATS their past three games, home games as a favorite. How about this? They're 13-24-1 ATS as a home favorite since moving to Los Angeles. What does that tell you? What we already knew. Absolutely no home field advantage here.
None. And I don't know if there'll be Tennessee fans there too, but look, going to have to stop Henry. Right, Tennessee turned the ball over four times, kind of, and almost they did it really without Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville, Josh Allen made a great play. Walker made a great play stripping Tannehill. But I got the sense that this is one of those where Tennessee has to regroup and gain their season. They're still going to win the South. I mean, who's going to challenge them in the South? No one. But I think, to me, this is one of those games where, okay, everybody wants to throw the ball. Philly threw the ball on us. Jacksonville did throw the ball on them, but when you watch the tape, there were a lot of throws. You know, Lawrence breaks the pocket. Zay Jones makes a – it's almost going to be an interception. Zay Jones gets it for a touchdown. I think that's a little misleading. I think Tennessee plays well today.
One more game, and we will have hit them all. Okay, so great job, Michael Lombardi, Elliott as well. Let's do it. If you're watching this game today, God bless you. Arizona at Denver, Colt McCoy, and Mr. Rippon. What a disgusting game. Let's go to, well, actually, you know, most shops are showing 1.5 with Denver laying it at home.
I mean, this is a game where, you know, both quarterbacks, I like Colt McCoy better than Rippon, right? But I think what the book's saying to you is Denver's defense is better than is the strength of this game. And we know the under is, I think, what, it's at 39, 37. It's down to 37. Both teams can't really move the football. Both teams are not great running the football. I like Arizona here. If you're going to give me points with Colt McCoy, I'll take the better quarterback in the game. But at the end of the day, it's Denver's defense which is driving this. It's really driving it. And I give credit for anybody who wants to sit and watch it. Two backup quarterbacks. We went from Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. Both of those guys I had in my bottom five quarterbacks most of the, you know, for the second half of the season. So it wasn't like we were getting an elite quarterback matchup. But one thing with McCoy gives the Cardinals is he gives them some rhythm to their passing game. They can't pass protect, but DJ Jones is out for Denver. That's a huge out. I mean, he gives them pressure inside. That'll help. That'll help Arizona move the football. Look, I think everybody knows Arizona's going to make a bunch of changes. There's a lot of dysfunction within that building, and a lot of it stems from the general manager who's now taking a leave of absence for health reason. A lot of it stems from the decision to get Kyler Murray extended. They say he's going to be back in 6 months. Okay, great. I buy that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, he's just a quick healer as an ACL guy. Come on, seriously.
Can we get a number on who's going to have a more dramatic offseason, the Cardinals or the Broncos? Because both have a lot to figure out this offseason, though.
Yeah, they'll be in the news quite a bit. They will be in the news quite a bit. Probably be in the news starting right after the end of the season. And, you know, like I said earlier in the show, you know, the owners are talking about $800 million of money that's going out based on firing people after so quickly. At some point, you got to decide how you want to build your franchise and how you want to gain alignment. Both of these teams need to figure that out.
$800 million, that's couch change for the NFL. Yeah. No doubt about that. The league continues to be an absolute monster. 2-0 Argentina up on France. We're coming back with Thomas Gable from Behind the Book.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it is The Lombardi Line. Brent Musburger, you heard the voice. He's coming up next with Countdown to Kickoff. Remember, when you become a VSiN Pro, you get our tools, our betting tools, to make you a more sophisticated better. By far the most popular betting tool is the betting splits. Michael and I are constantly referring to these betting splits, where ours are updated over at VSiN.com every 10 minutes directly from DraftKings. Find out where the money's going, not just for today, but future events. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to become a VSiN Pro. Okay, coming up in 15, we're going to run the board and also get Michael Lombardi's official plays week 15 on this Sunday. Right now, we head out to the Borgata and say hi to Thomas Gable, our partner who runs the Race and Sportsbook in Atlantic City at the Borgata. We say hi to TG, a little liability on Argentina here, and you want another goal because this closed 2 as far as the total at the World Cup, and we're sitting 2-0 Argentina right now, correct?
Yeah, we'd like one more goal here, and that'd be a good result for us. But yeah, I mean, obviously Argentina in command, and book is filled with Messi fans. And let me ask you a question, Patrick. Out of all the goals for the Messi has scored this World Cup, how many have come on penalty kicks?
I think it's three. Mikhail, you can check that out. But he's taken all the PKs for Argentina. He missed one early. He missed his first penalty kick early. And I think he's converted on the last three. So I think he's attempted four. But he's going to win the Golden Boot for the highest score.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. That's
I'm sure there was some liability there in the market for him as the top goal scorer at the tournament as well. Mm-hmm. It's been a wonderful event. It concludes the month-long World Cup today. By the way, I've got three plays from Thomas Gable, Michael Lombardi in college basketball today. At the end of the segment, we'll give out one, and then VSiN pros can go get the other two over at VSiN.com/subscribe. Yesterday, how'd you turn out with Indianapolis covering?
The game, we ended up doing okay on the first two games of the day, including that Colts game. And obviously we had a lot of Vikings money there. And I think the book was pretty full for that game. And people obviously lost interest there after the first half. And then slowly you started hearing the rumblings. And people who maybe weren't watching that closely started paying closer attention. And obviously the Vikings come back, and looking at the if you were betting that live, we actually ended up losing a little bit on the live betting on that game. And I think the biggest payout that I saw wasn't too bad. I think somebody got the Vikings when you could get them at 10-1 or around 10-1, 11-1, somewhere in there. I jumped in a lot later than I guess at the peak, but what a victory for the Vikings, and what a collapse for the Colts.
You know, didn't you feel like that the Vikings were going to score a touchdown? I kind of felt like at overtime they were going to score a touchdown and cover. I kind of felt like that was where it was going. It was just so, you know, unrealistic. It was so unbelievable, should I say. Not unbelievable. I mean, you know, when you really consider that they're snapping the ball with 18 and 20 seconds on the play clock. I mean, seriously. Like, who's coaching over there? Like, right. What are they doing?
It really makes you wonder. And that's the bed they made, so they have to lie in it at this point.
Yeah, an improbable comeback, the biggest in the history of the NFL. So we now move to today. Let's just start here. Liability, where do you have it?
So right now, I think The Falcons Saints are probably going to be a decent sized liability on that one. People are betting the Saints. It's up to 4.5 here. So that game was going to be some liability. The Lions and Jets, obviously very heavily bet game. A lot of interest in that locally, but pretty even. Well, take account pretty even money. The Jets are 1.5 point favorites here with Wilson back at quarterback, so we'll see how he does. Obviously, the Lions have been hot lately, but very even ticket count there and money as well. And then, of course, the Eagles and Bears game. The Bears have been taking some money, some bigger money, but obviously the ticket count favors the Eagles quite a bit. But that game is now at 8.5, and I think, you know, some people are obviously saying this could be a look-ahead spot here for the Eagles, and potentially they're taking the Bears there. They think that the Eagles might not be able to cover this number if it is a look-ahead spot. Obviously, they have Dallas next week. But, Michael, interested in your take here on the Bears. They're the worst record in the NFC. Certainly would be tempting to pack it in here and just hang Fields up for the season and say, hey, we're going to try to get the best draft pick we can, but they're still trying them out there. What's your take on from a front office perspective on that?
Well, I think they're trying to learn more about them, right? They're trying to set themselves up for next year so that they know exactly what they have. I mean, this has been an ongoing search for Justin Fields in the sense that who is he as a quarterback? Who is he as a player, right? Is he a West Coast? Is he a play action pass? Is he a Kyle Shanahan guy? What is he? And now we know he's a six back offense guy. So if you're Ryan you know, if you're the general manager there of the Ryan Poles, I was going to say Ryan Pace, he was the one before. They just like Ryan's. But anyway, if you're Ryan, you kind of know what kind of team you have to build. You got to rebuild these offensive and defensive lines. And so you got nowhere to go with Fields because you got three more years of a contract. So you might as well go down this six-back road and see if he gets better at it. And every game you can get him to play, I think it helps you in that area. I really do.
How are they betting the Commanders hosting the Giants there, TG?
So Commanders are now 4.5-point favorites, and the total's at 40.5. A little bit more Giants money here at the moment, but this game got flexed into the primetime slot, obviously with the playoff implications that come with this. And two teams tied just 2 weeks ago at the Meadowlands. But, I mean, let's face it, they've been heading in opposite directions for weeks now. You know, Giants started off 6-1, and obviously we thought, hey, a lot of this could be smoke and mirrors. They weren't really that good, but Washington has come on, and it's really been since the Wentz injury. Taylor Heineke has 5 wins and 7 starts. He's 5-1-1, and obviously they're coming off their bye week, so they face the Giants now, and that's all they really had to prepare for here basically the last month is the New York Giants. So certainly I think it's a good line here, 4.5 for the Commanders, but we are seeing some Giants money, but again, locally we're prone to see that.
Yeah, I mean, this is, to me, don't you think this is the Giants' last stand here? This is either now or never, right? I mean, you know, if they continue to trend downward, which obviously they have been, I mean, where do they get it back? I mean, how do they get it going? And, you know, they got Barkley healthy. I mean, Jones, you know, didn't throw very many incomplete passes against them. So, you know, they know they can execute their offense a little bit against the Washington and hope the pass rush. But, like, you know, they got to go to Minnesota next week. They got Indy at home, which, look, every game on their schedule is going to be hard. They're the Giants. So, and the Eagle game, they're going to win that. I mean, they're going to win that. They'll be favored in that game because it'll be the last game of the year, and Philly's not going to play anybody.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Who are they betting with the Raiders hosting the Patriots there at the Borgata?
So, this is an interesting game. We opened this pick, and the Raiders are now up to 2.5-point favorites. Some sharper money has come in on Vegas, and particularly in the first half. Just took a $50,000 wager on Vegas for the first half. But obviously two coaches that are very knowledgeable of one another, and McDaniels being under Belichick's tutelage for a long time there. So I think this is going to be one of the more fascinating games to watch this week. And again, we talked a little bit about it Monday with the Patriots. I mean, this is kind of do or die time here for the Patriots. The door was cracked open for them to get into the playoffs. Now they just have to kind of push their way through.
Yeah. I mean, this is it, right? I mean, I think the one thing that makes December football so great is there's really, this is like, there are a lot of custard last day game. Either you do it or you don't. Like the Bengals-Tampa game, Thomas. Like the Bengals have, the door is wide open for them. Like it's wide open. Baltimore just lost 2 games in a row, and you're playing your best football. You can't lose to Tampa, who's not playing good.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, that's a team there where Tampa is struggling so much, and the Bengals have been rounding in the form, and really I think are now kind of looking at, you know, like last year, they're a Super Bowl contender once again.
Okay, so 3 college basketball plays from Thomas Gable today. Michael, I'm going to give you a marquee matchup, and then you got to go to VSiN.com/subscribe to get the other 2 plays. We send the plays out every single day. Here's a marquee matchup. Merrimack at Bucknell. You've got Bucknell. So we're going deep. Whoever's watching Merrimack and Bucknell today must really hate the NFL. Anywho, it's Bucknell Lane 7.5 TG. So thank you for that. And then 2 more over at VSiN.com. Enjoy the day, Thomas. Thank you.
Thanks, TG.
Right, thank
Merrimack and Bucknell. Have fun. We're back. We're going to run the board. Michael Lombardi's official plays for week 15.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It is absolute bedlam in Qatar as Mbappe ties it up for France in the 81st minute. 2-2 Argentina-France. Right now, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, has unleashed the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits. Also, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can convert those points into dining shows, hotel rooms. It's all there. Visit BetMGM.com for the best loyalty program in the game. Got to be 21 years or older. If you have a problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Lunacy. Unbelievable action right now in Qatar. Mbappe, a PK, and then a true goal. So he takes over the golden boot, and France ties it up late against Argentina, 2-2. We're in the 83rd minute. We shall take a look. What's happening?
Tell me, Patrick. Give me a little. What happened? I mean, it was 2-0, and we were talking about football, and all of a sudden now, what happened?
I'll make this brief. It was 2-0, and Argentina did what soccer fans called park the bus. They go to a defensive-minded setup. They substitute guys that are more defensive-minded, okay? France got a PK, which is a penalty kick. Mbappe, maybe the best player in the world right now, steps up, converts. And then about a minute and a half later, Michael Lombardi, another goal from Mbappe. So he goes up 7-6 over Messi as far as the most goals scored for the Golden Boot, and now France has tied it up. Remember, France won the World Cup 4 years ago. So some championship medal there as they were down 2-0 late in this one, and now it's 2-2 in the 84th minute.
Wow. Impressive, huh?
Very, very impressive.
I mean, is Jeff Saturday coaching Argentina? I just wonder if they're is he blowing the lead over there or what? See, I think that's a great point you made, though. I think it's worth a conversation because, you know, when I said earlier about when they blow that lead, you don't go into a defensive mindset, but what you have to understand is the clock is more your opponent when you're up 33-0 or 36-7. The clock is your opponent, and so you have to work on the clock, and you also have to get first downs, which the Colts didn't do. They got six first downs in the second half. They needed 12.
If you were coming for the Jeff Saturday World Cup corollary from Michael Lombardi, you just got it. Okay, let's run the board. You got three official plays as well. So if you're ready to go, let's do this. Okay, we're going to start here. I'm sorry, my screen is just loading up here, Michael Lombardi. I'm going to get it going here. Let's start with, I have to pass on the first one because that's an official play. Giants at Washington. Washington's laying 4.5.
You know, Russo took this as his first pick. I really like – I would have put this in my pick, but I hate taking Russo's pick as my own picks because then I have to root for Russo, and I hate doing that completely. So, but I like the Giants here a lot. I think 4.5 is way too much. I think it's a field goal game. I don't think Washington – even Washington fans would admit that Washington does nothing to lend you to believe that they're going to run away from any team. I mean, just look at all their scores. Just look at the scores that they've had. I mean, they're just never going to run away from anybody, and they're always playing close games. They're always down to the wire. You know, it's 18-17. They beat the Colts. 17-16, 20-17. I mean, they beat Philly was the only team they ran away from in Houston, but Atlanta, 19-13. You know, 20-20, 12-7 against the Bears, 23-21 against the Packers. I think 4.5 is too much.
Next one up, Atlanta, New Orleans. I know you know something about this matchup. New Orleans is
This is a huge
four.
This is a huge sharp play. Thomas was very. You know, he's got liability in his shop on New Orleans. A lot of strong players have really backed it, which is different than what we're hearing on the Tampa, and we're different than we're hearing on the sharps are moving the Raider number. You know, I think that's a combination. This is a game where there's a lot of people, there's a huge conglomerate in Europe that is moving this number, and it's gone from 3.5 up to 5 now. There's 5 somewhere out there with New Orleans. I think that's way too much. I liked Atlanta early in the week. I really did because I had this line as a 2.94 line. I lean Atlanta if you're giving me 5.
Okay, Kansas City's at Houston. We mentioned the hook is there as Kansas City's lane 14.5.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City doesn't beat anybody. Even on the road, they don't beat anybody by 14.5. But I think this is going to be a little bit of a different game. Kansas City's going to play their best. They have to continue to grow. Buffalo, they saw Buffalo with some liability. I mean, Buffalo didn't look like a Super Bowl contender last night, especially defensively. So my sense of this is I would take Kansas City and lay the points.
Okay, let's go quick on the leans because I want to have plenty of time for your official plays. Philly at Chicago, Philly's laying 8.5.
I love Philly here. I took Philly in the Russo contest. I like them. I think Philly will play well. I don't think Philly will mess it up. I think Philly will continue to play well. I think Philly will move the ball on a bad Bears defense. I think they'll control the pace of the game, and they'll make the Bears play from behind.
Pardon me, that is an official play from Michael, not a lean. Philadelphia laying the 8.5. Pittsburgh is at Carolina. Carolina's laying 2.5.
Well, again, I have vested interest in Carolina here. I worry about the Mike Tomlin factor. I think his team will play well today. I think it'll be a close game. I would take Pittsburgh on the road and get the points because Pittsburgh, even though they're not playing well, you know, Carolina's going to just try to run the ball, keep the game close. It'll be a very tight game. That 3 is significant.
Dallas is laying 4 at Jacksonville.
I like Dallas here. I just call me crazy. I like Dallas. I think Dallas will throw the ball effectively. I don't think Jacksonville's good on defense. And if they don't have Walker rushing, it's just Allen. They're going to put Teron Smith over at right tackle so they keep their line in check. He comes back. If Dak protects the ball, I think Dallas wins by a touchdown.
Arizona at Denver. Denver is laying 1.5.
I lean Denver because of Colt McCoy's better than Brett Rippon.
Okay, fair enough. Good enough cap for me. Tennessee's at the Chargers. Again,
I like Tennessee a lot. I like Tennessee.
Three.
I almost made him official play. I'll take Vrabel on the road. I think he'll run the football. I think he'll control the pace of the game. I think the Chargers will throw it, but I also think Herbert's got to stay protected. This rush can get to him.
Next up, New England at Vegas. Vegas is laying 2.
I'll take Vegas just because I have to stay with my heart. I think Vegas will move the ball. I think New England will move the ball. I think with Waller and Renfro back, it'll be a harder matchup for New England. New England doesn't have any of their running backs, and they're going to have to throw the football effectively.
Okay, official plays now. We back up. Detroit is at the Jets, and Detroit is catching 1.5.
I mean, I like Detroit today. I think Detroit will play well. I don't think it's going to be overly cold for Detroit. I think their skilled players are really good. I think the offensive line has been the strength of their team. I do think that they'll struggle at times to stop the Jets, but I think that they've been able to improve themselves defensively. They played more nickel. They've been able to create turnovers with their defense. I think it's a close game. I'll take Detroit.
Okay. Another official play, 327 rotation. Cincinnati's at Tampa, and Cincinnati's laying 3.5.
I'm not buying look, I love Brady to death, and I think he'll play well. But I think Cincinnati has a lot to play for today, too. I don't think you can dismiss that. I don't think football teams just put the key in the ignition and all of a sudden become great. I think it takes a little bit of time to get it going, and all the numbers say that Tampa isn't getting anywhere. I mean, the last time they won down with New Orleans, they're down 16-3, and if Mark Ingram stays in bounds, they've lost that game, too. Think about that, Patrick. Mm-hmm. And we said it last week. You know, they were a 3.5-point dog out there to San Francisco, and I didn't think that line was right. I have this as a 5.7 line. Tampa doesn't really – their strength is they don't have a strength. That's the answer. And as good as Brady is, he can't carry the team. Do I think they'll move the ball? Yeah. But I think the second half is when Cincinnati plays their best defense, and I think they'll take the game over.
So, again, the official plays, the Lions – catching 1.5 right now. Cincinnati laying 3.5. And then I stepped on you a bit so we can go back to it. The Eagles laying 8.5 at Chicago. Cold. You're not worried about a look-ahead spot. They're dialed in, the Eagles, right now.
No, I could just tell by the Eagles that they're focused. And look, the one thing about the Eagles is they have to run their offense to be effective. Like, they're not, you know, they have to run the six-back attack. And they've got to protect the football. There's a certain way they have to play. And when their defense plays with aggressiveness and they're going to go against a team that mirrors themselves, I mean, they got to stop Fields from running. If they get the lead and make Fields play quarterback, I think it becomes a harder game for Chicago to stay close in.
Okay, Michael, you got a minute here. I'm going to let you run with it. It's going to be cold. Some new faces at quarterback. We're kind of in that playoff push, or we're directly in that playoff push, I should say.
Yeah.
What are you looking for today?
Well, I think what we're looking for is the teams that have been playing well, are they going to continue to play well, right? Are the Chargers going to continue to play well? You know, they won last week. Is Cincy going to continue to play well? Is Tennessee going to turn their season around? Was last week Dallas, the way they played, was that kind of more of just a look ahead? I think it was. I think they've got their attention back. I think when you see Kansas City sees Buffalo, I don't think Buffalo looked like a legitimate Super Bowl contender dominating team. I think New Orleans has got to get their season going a little bit here. You know, I think, and it's the perfect time to do it against a rookie quarterback, and especially now New Orleans has more guys healthy, and I'm looking forward to the night game tonight with the Washington Commanders against the Giants. I think that'll be a fun game to watch because it's the Giants season. The games where it's Custer's last stand are the best ones to watch.
Enjoy the games, Michael, and stay warm. Countdown to kickoff with Brent Musburger is coming up next. I'll see you tomorrow morning, Michael Lombardi. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
Okay, enjoy the games. Enjoy Brent Musburger coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.